Hi, this is Anita from the Global Trade Gal. Anyone who's in the global trade probably needs to source products. You know, whether that means that you're sourcing actual products or you're sourcing skills for somebody overseas, it means that you need to be able to understand what it means to be able to source something or to be able to find what you need. This is even true for manufacturing in a place like the United States. Most manufacturers in the United States need to buy products overseas. So they also need to be able to have the ability to source the products they need to be able to make their end product. We are really living in an interconnected world where today everything is connected with each other, where one country may have a more competitive advantage than another. I was at our local post office here the other day and got talking to one of the postmasters who said that on the side he makes some car parts. And he started talking about how difficult it was for him to get some sources and some products from Mexico for some of the metal that he needed. And that shows that even like people that are small suppliers to large suppliers all need to be able to somehow deal with the fact that they have to deal with products and people that are overseas. So here are some of my things that I believe in sourcing products, that there are mistakes that I see that many people make, especially if they are not familiar with sourcing products overseas. The first one is, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I can produce that for 20% of everyone else, and they're in the same country as the other people you're buying, the truth is, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. You know, that either the quality's not there, they are cheating on materials, there are other things that are happening in that process because of the fact that they probably aren't able to really do the production. Manufacturers may use even stock photographs or someone else's photo and pass it off as their own product. And so maybe they haven't actually made the product. So they sort of give you a price and they say, you know, here's the price. And if, you know, if it looks like it's really good quality and you think it's good quality and you don't check it out and you don't do your due diligence, if you think it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, the only way that you can really know this is to be able to visit them. And if you live in the United States, of course, making these trips can be very costly. That's also why you need to have a partner in Asia, someone who knows what they are doing, to be able to help you through all this, because there's a lot of people that are online that will tell you they can do something and they really cannot. And that goes with what I call the catch and bait pricing. I mean, I've seen a lot of this go on, especially on websites like Alibaba. In fact, I know some of these people that are doing these prices. They might have a price of a, for example, in my industry where we manufacture home decor products, they may have a price of a mother of pearl vase, which we know there's no way they can get the, you know, the cost of the vase can be $1, but they put down $1. It's $1. And so you contact them and think like, wow, this is $1. Why is the other person charging me $18 or $20? They're so much cheaper. You know, I need to go with them. Well, the truth is they can't produce that vase for $1. You know, the materials and the labor cost much more than $1 for that vase. But they will use it for a sort of catch and bait. They're in a sense, they're kind of lying to you and telling you that they can do it for that when really they have no intention to. And instead they'll say, oh, you know, but we need to change it and it needs to be this instead. Or maybe they have some old stock that they're willing to sell to for $1 for exactly that. And then when you come back again and the order, suddenly it's going to be $20 or higher. You know, so really there's this whole thing which is about, you know, the catch and bait game players. If I see someone that's playing the catch and bait game, I sort of stay away from them because for me, it's very much a dangerous game. Number one, I know that they can't produce it for that. And number two, it becomes for me a sense of honesty of how honest are they really being with this whole catch and bait because of the fact that I know that they can't produce it for that for $1. But they are just only trying to get your interest so that they can get your information that, you know. And for me, it's really not, it's not a sound business practice. But there are a lot of suppliers who do this. In short, if you see a company that is playing the catch and bait scheme, my advice would be to run away and find someone else who's going to give you a more honest price. Because in the long run, you're not going to win, they're not going to win, no one is going to win with this. The other problem is not properly vetting the vendor. One of the things that we do a lot whenever whoever we work with is we will make a trip and go see them. This costs a lot of time and it costs a lot of money and it's also a lot of effort. You know, it's really hard for you to know what a person can or cannot do until you go in to actually see what they are doing. Going to see someone, their production and their abilities is important. You can see a lot, you know, in factory floors, showrooms, or other places. You can really see what people are able to do. I am very surprised of how many people just blindly buy overseas and just have the, you know, customer pack the container. They don't really know what they're getting. In my experience, a really good vendor will always show you what is being done up front because they don't want to have any problems. A good vendor does not want to have any problems any more than you want to have problems. They understand, like just like we understand with my own company and business, the most important things we can do is to do a good job on the first container so that we can have a second or third or fourth container. You know, nobody really makes much money on the first development. And I've said this many times to many of my clients. You know, we don't make money on samples and we don't make money on a first container. We make money on the second, third, or fourth container. Yes, we make some money on the first container, but we don't make much. It's a lot of effort and a lot of time. You know, it's much better for us to have a customer that we can have long term. And that's one reason why many of my clients are really long term clients. Another problem that I've seen with many people do is they have this, what I call the order quantities disparity. I saw this a lot, especially when I was in the shoe business. I had some buyers that would go into the factory and say, I'm going to order from you 100,000 pairs of shoes. And then the factory would be like, wow, that's so great. And they get excited and they start doing the pricing for 100,000 pairs of shoes. And then the order would come back and it'd be 10,000 or even 1,000 pairs of shoes. You know, this really makes the factory upset. And it also makes you as a buyer look dishonest to them. There's a couple of reasons why this is such a problem. Is because of the fact that, number one, the factory has gone to their suppliers and said, look, we're going to order X number of things. Can you discount us? And then the factory's got a discount based upon those quantities. The other problem with this is that there's no way that they will want to give you this price or give you this price long term. So one of the best things that you can do as a potential customer is to be honest with the factory or the vendor to let them know exactly what you are looking at for quantities. Many of the good vendors will also tell you, here's our minimum quantity. And you may be able to, at that point, bargain with them some. We've been able to do that. We've done that many times. That is fine. Maybe on a few items, you might say, look, we'll buy your minimum for, you know, these, you know, 10 items, but for these two, can you give it to us less? And most vendors will say, okay, because they know they're already going to get the business on the others. If they're not able to do it, there may be a specific reason why they can't do it, and you should be able to understand what the reason is for that. I love how Tom Peters said, the formula for success is to underpromise and overdeliver. I think that really is a great thought. The other one is to not understand the vendor capabilities. You know, there again, it goes with having somebody on the ground who can help you with this, or, you know, having someone that on the ground that you know that you can work with that can be able to help you with this and to understand this. It's really hard for you to spend an hour in a factory and really understand their capabilities. You really need somebody on the ground to help you. But, you know, this is a reason why having a reliable partner or agent can make all the difference between success or failure in product sourcing. Well, many might feel, well, why do I need somebody else? Why do I need a middleman? But the truth of the matter is, unless you're going to spend a lot of your time over there, you probably do. And if you have other things to do, you may find that you just don't have the time to do those things that need to be done to get the products out at the quantity and the quality and the price that you need. We've written a blog on this about the different common errors that we see in product procurement or sourcing. And we'll put a link into our description for that blog post. So if you're interested in this, if this is something you're thinking of doing, even if you maybe aren't sourcing products, but you're going to look to even source labor overseas, or you're going to look to source services overseas, this is still good things for you to understand about signs that you should look for to be able to properly be able to source product procurement overseas. And some of the most common errors that we see people make in this. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you. And if you get a chance, if you've enjoyed this, subscribe. We'd love to have you subscribe to our blog. The reason is if you subscribe, then it helps us to be able to serve you better. It helps us be able to understand more about you as our customer. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to us. And we'd like to also thank our team that helps put this podcast together, especially Rico. Thank you all for being a part of our community.